At The Gatesworth, you set the standard for exceptional senior living. Their warm residential setting and commitment to personalized service ensure that each resident has what they need, when they need it, and the way they like it. Start with the active routine, relax, and savor each moment. Visit The Gatesworth on Facebook or schedule a personal tour on thegatesworth.com and see for yourself how The Gatesworth does senior living your way.
Lands. And between the obligatory day trips, we played catch. Beneath the endless sky, away.
This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box, all new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano, Martin Kilcoyne. We're joined by the Blues general manager, Doug Armstrong. Doug, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good. Right off the bat, what is the organization's thoughts on Jake Allen moving forward?
Well, he's got a contract, and we expect him to be back next year, ready to assume the net and give us a good season.
How do you think you get around him having those rough stretches during the season?
Well, I think it's obviously falls on his shoulders to prepare differently, I think. And, you know, we want to give him as many assets to use, whether goalie coach, Marty Brodeur, anything that he needs to, you know, find that sweet spot where the consistency is there for the entire year, Frank. I think what you see is peaks are quite high. We saw that, you know, at the start of the season through the first probably 6 weeks and 7 weeks, we were a top team in the league. And then at the end when he went in there, in San Jose, played really good. We lost that game, then ripped off, I think, four or five in a row to get us back in the race. But the valleys are too low, and that's what we have to address.
You're still confident he's a guy who could lead you deep into the playoffs, that you could win a cup with Jake Allen?
Yep.
What about Carter Hutton? And, you know, here's the amazing thing, Doug, is, and we've talked about it all week, is you had a goaltender on your roster who had the best save percentage and the lowest goals against average in the National Hockey League, and it appears that he really doesn't have a long-term future with the Blues. How do you examine his future?
Well, I thought he had a great year, and, you know, unfortunately at the end of the season he got injured, and, you know, that's when Jake grabbed the net and played very well for us. He's 32 years old. You know, he was very good for us. I told him he was very good for us, and I thought he had a stellar season, and we'd like to bring him back. We want to talk to him, but it could be a situation like a Brian Elliott where they had a good year and they wanted to become a number one in the NHL and be, you know, a long-term deal paid like a number one. And, you know, he and his agent and I will sort of go through that and find out if there's a happy marriage here in St. Louis.
What's the level of readiness for like a Ville Husso? Could he be, you know, a legit backup at this point, or is he not ready for that?
Well, we're sort of debating that now. He was the American Hockey League on the all-rookie team for a goaltender, but we don't want to put him in situations to fail. So we're going to examine that. Does he need another half a season, or is he ready to come here? And I think a lot of that be to do determine on what Hutton's future is, and also if there's a capable guy to come in here to partner with Jake, if it's not Hutton, to give him more time.
The offensive numbers are kind of troubling, 24th in goals and then 30th in the power play. What's your discussion going to be like, and I'm sure you've already had it, with Coach Yeo about what you can do about this offense?
Well, we certainly will start with the power play. It has to get better. That's no state secret I'm sharing there. At 30th, if we're in the top half of the league, or just, you know, anywhere close to that, we're playing right now, and we're having this conversation later on. But you know, I think what we did this year is we relied on pass play too much. We didn't change the players enough when it wasn't working. In my belief. To work on of holding a higher accountability to good and bad play.
What's the number one thing on your list? When you look at this roster right now, what do you think you need to add? If you were only allowed to add one piece, what would it be?
Well, I think, you know, obviously we traded Paul Stastny, a centerman. We're going to have to we have to replace that, or try and find a via trade or from within. So that's one area where We had Stastny and Shen, and now we just have Shen. So most, that's probably the spot.
We're talking with Doug Armstrong, Hollywood Casino Press Box, Frank Cusimano, and Martin Kilcoyne. You said something interesting yesterday about, even though the Blues are a mid-market city, that you guys spend to the cap and you have a great ownership behind you that will always spend to the cap. There are some really marketable high-end free agents out there. I mean, could the Blues be in the sweepstakes for some of these really big-name expensive players?
Yeah, we have the cap space, and you know, we want to improve our team. And there's obviously ways to improve it. It's via trade or via free agency, and we have to explore all of those. And sometimes you have these these master plans in April, then you get to June, and all those players have signed with their current team. So we have to have a plan B. But certainly in our mix is to get into the free agent market and see what's available.
What do you think is a fair analysis of the last 2 years? Because you guys were on the Western Conference Final 2 years ago, and obviously it's gone backwards since then. Was that a natural regression? What do you think happened since then? Because I think you got some fans on board that maybe weren't even into hockey 2 years ago and felt like maybe you guys were on the edge of the cup. What do you think's happened since?
Well, I think that, you know, after that cup run, I had felt that group had maxed out, and we lost players to free agency, and we had to no longer trade first-round picks but acquire first-round picks, and we had to start planning for the future. And I think, you know, our amateur scouting staff has done a good job, and, you know, we couldn't keep just trading picks and prospects for runs. You know, I thought it was a natural transition time to move ahead. And, you know, at that time we said there was going to be some bumps on the road, you know, we just got to make sure this is the low point and we start moving forward.
You took much of the blame yesterday at the press conference, but you also hired Mike Yeo. And I'm wondering, what's the next step in Mike Yeo's career? I mean, when you sit down with him and evaluate Mike Yeo, what would you like to see more out of?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things Mike and I have to talk about is ensuring that accountability to our star players. I mean, Mike said as much yesterday also, is that he's going to have to hold these guys at a higher accountability when things aren't working. And, you know, you want to trust your best players. You want to trust the difference makers. But if it's not getting done, there has to be some consequences to it.
And what's the readiness of Tarasenko for next season? Is that something that the timing of this, you think he'll be just fine when the season begins?
It's going to be, if he's not ready for training camp, it looks like 4 to 6 months. That'll put us right at the start of the season. So, you know, does he miss a game or two or a week? I'm not sure, but there's certainly no concern that it's going to be something that's going to linger into next season.
Now, it was said to me that he is a star, but for the Blues to be great, they almost need Tarasenko to be a superstar. Do you think that's a fair analysis?
Well, I think that he should want to be a superstar. You know, he has the talent. He's entering the prime of his playing career right now. You don't throw things out there that you don't think people can obtain. I'm not sure why he doesn't believe. Well, I know he does believe, and we have to help him win a scoring title, a goal scoring title, a total point scoring title. He has that type of skill. He had over 300 shots this year. You know, some obviously it wasn't his shooting percentage was down to, I think, a career low from his rookie year. So there's things that he needed to improve on. But yeah, I think it's not that we need him to be a superstar. I think he can be a superstar and he should be a superstar. And what we have to do is work with him to hand in hand to reach those goals.
How do you like the room, the leadership in the room? I know Alex Pietrangelo has a lot of attributes. He's still relatively young as a captain in this league. But do you think there's enough strong forces in that room right now?
Well, that's things that we're, you know, I think you can always improve in those areas. I think, you know, we're asking players like Shannon Schwartz now to step up and take a bigger role, and a guy like Joel Edmondson to take a bigger role, a guy like Parenko. So it's a room in growth right now. You know, we have the veteran players and Steen and Pietrangelo wearing letters with Tarasenko, but that next wave of players that are no longer first or second year players need to do a better job, and or not a better job, they need to take a bigger role in helping that, you know, that room get stronger.
Doug, what's the level of readiness for some of those prospects, the names we've heard about? Like let's go through a couple. Like Robert Thomas, is he ready to contribute?
again, he's going to be 19 year old. He's going to be a 19 year old next year. So there's a the potential to play in the league. I guess what you consider contribute, do we think he's going to be a 65, 70 point guy next year? I don't have that envision of him at 19. Can he play in the league? That's what we're going to find out in training camp.
And is it similar for a Jordan Kyrou?
Yeah, he's a year older, 20, but the same type of thing. You know, this is a man's league. This is a difficult league, and we want to give these guys opportunities. But when you know, there's just not a lot of 19 and 20 year old players that aren't picked in the top two or three in the draft that come in and have a force in the league.
And what do you forecast with Robbie Fabry coming off the back-to-back injuries and surgery? What is realistic for him?
That one's probably the hardest because I don't know anyone that's had ACL surgery twice on the same knee that quickly, well, actually ever before on the same knee, but certainly like this quickly. So I'd be just lying. I'm hoping that we get the player back that we had in the past. I'm hoping that I know he's putting the work in, but again, we're in uncharted water here. We had him penciled in after the first surgery in our top six. I think we have to be a little more realistic that it's going to take him a little bit of time. And you know, so if he comes back in training camp and is ready to go, do we get the Robbie Fabry of old by January or February? I don't know. Or do we get it by September? I don't know. So we're hoping to get to somehow find the Robbie Fabry when he left. You know, a young player getting better. That's what we hope to get. Do we get that? You know, it's not going to be because of lack of effort or desire on his part. It's just going to see how his body holds up.
And you're not in the marketing department, but this team does go out every summer and sells tickets. How much of your job is to give, I don't know if it's sizzle, but something new, because this team fell short. You can't just roll out the same group next year. Is there any pressure for you to have either it's a big splash or a big addition, something that they can say, hey, here's a reason why, point at this guy or that guy as to why we'll be better?
Well, we'd like to do that, but, you know, so would 30 other teams. Well, actually, probably one of the teams is going to. They're going to be the Stanley Cup champion. But other than that, everyone's going to want to try and improve. And, you know, you hit on the potential free agents, but if they're not there, they're not there. There's nothing you can really do about it. And, you know, not there's not a lot of trades in this league. So we have to get creative. We have to try and find a way to get better. And that's our job responsibility. But, you know, we're all going to be going after the same players. If they get to the market, we're all going to be trying to save, trade for the same players. But like our team, we're not looking to trade really good players, you know, or to give them away. So if we do acquire someone, it's going to be at a cost.
All right, I asked some folks, and well, a couple more minutes here, we'll let Doug Armstrong go, but people to chime in via Twitter here, questions that they had, if they had the chance to ask, at what point would drastic change happen? Would the management need a majority of a roster? Would you do you think you're at a point where you would need a roster overhaul?
No, that's what we did a couple of years ago. We did the roster overhaul, and we're building this roster back up with players like Schwartz and Tarasenko, Parenko. Dunn is now in there. Edmondson is in there. So we started 2 years ago. I think we're closer to it now than we were 2 years ago.
How many prospects do you think will be in the mix next year?
I think you probably have four or five fighting for two or three spots, you know, depending, you know, if you put Robbie Fabry into that mix, is he still a prospect or is he an NHL player? You know, he hasn't played a lot of games, so he might still be in the prospect grouping. You have Blaze, Costin, Sanford is the guy that we got from Washington that missed the entire year with the shoulder injury. Now he's up and playing in the American League. Barbashev, you know, is he still a prospect or a player? So we have a Tage Thompson. So we have a bunch of guys that are going to be fighting. Our goal is to have a really competitive training camp. And my hope is that the veteran players come back and make it difficult on these young players. But if these young players are ready to play, they're ready to play.
And somebody else was asking, did Stastny leave on good terms? Any chance that he could come back?
I think he left on good terms. He left on good terms from my point of view. You're probably a better question for him. It was a difficult decision for Paul to accept the trade to Winnipeg. It was a difficult decision that we had to make to trade him, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for him. And from our perspective, we wish him the best, and I hope he feels he feels he was treated fairly here and left on good terms.
I think one of the common critiques that we'll see online, people will point out players that they consider below average get long-term deals, a Berglund, a Steen, a Sobotka. What do you expect from those guys? And can they kind of match the dollars they're getting paid?
Well, I think if you dig in and you look at the dollars they're getting paid to their production, I'm not sure they're overpaid.
So you're getting you're good with the value you're getting from Berglund and Steen and Sobotka?
Well, yeah. I mean, Berglund was on pace for the mid 20 goals at 3.85. That's the market rate.
And Doug, you said the frustration the fans feel, you feel it. What have you gotten a sense of that? Because the fan base is very loyal, and you know that, and have kind of just been dying for that cup. What's your level or sense of the frustration that's out there?
I just assume it's out there because I'm frustrated. We have 19,000 plus come to the game every night, and we're not in the playoffs. So it's been a loyal fan base. They've been through a lot over the 50 plus years here, and I'm sure they're frustrated because I know I'm frustrated. And it's a great hockey town, and they want us to have success.
Doug, we appreciate the time. We'll be talking soon.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. Take care.
All right, Doug Armstrong, the Blues general manager, president of hockey operations. It's the Mosaic title. You got to get it right. It's actually both. Like if Mo had kept the GM title, that's what it would have been like. Doug Armstrong with us. A number of those questions, in fact, I was kind of an amalgam there, but most of the stuff that was tweeted at me was kind of about Steen, Berglund kind of locking them up to long-term deals. I think his point is nowadays it's like a pitcher in baseball, I guess. So Berglund gets close to $4 million. He says that's about what they get paid to score 20 goals a year. That's about the going market. A lot of people said, though, why not just put in your prospects? You know, if you're going to get 20 goals from Berglund, just play a young guy. But it sounds like the majority of the young guys are not quite ready. The exciting names that you're hearing, the Kyrus and the Robert Thomas, those guys aren't ready. So the other ones you've heard a little bit about, like a Sammy Blais, he's going to be around. Zach Sanford will be back. But they do have to find something to market or sell to their fan base. Chuck Marlowe is in. Frank had to slide out. Frank's going straight to Facebook, just like Major League Baseball.
You know, we were complaining about Major League Baseball being on Facebook. We should have taken Frank to task. Pre-game on Facebook Live?
Yeah.
We should have called him out.
I flipped on the Channel 5 there, the News 5 that's on my side, and Frank wasn't there. He said he was going to be on with that Hockman guy.
Now, look, guys. I complained about this Facebook thing.
Also, we're on Facebook Live. We love it. We love being on
Facebook.
Yes,
we are too, and it's great.
It's amazing.
I just went to Facebook, though. All you have to do, it's very easy. You search MLB Live.
Why are you an ageist?
And I checked it, and I'm thinking, okay, is there a pregame show? It's going live at 11:50 Central Time. And it actually is very easy, even though I'd prefer to be on Fox Sports Midwest like everybody else.
My friends at Patio said they're working on it. I think that's what a number of sports bars around town would probably be telling you the same thing, which is that the Facebook can be put on the big screen. You got to figure out how.
Hey, the big screen.
I do want to keep track of, and I should have started this last week just to see if there's a pattern, hashtag Facebook lineup, because the Cardinals are putting on a lineup that's, I think, very, very fitting for a Facebook broadcast of Greg Garcia batting leadoff. You have Wong batting six. You have Bader batting seventh, no Dexter Fowler. You have like a 75% Jose Martinez batting in the middle of the order, playing first base. I want to keep track of if this is going to be a trend throughout the year of major league teams when they're on that weekday Facebook broadcast just throwing out the quadruple A lineup.
It's also the getaway day,
I think so,
lineup as well.
But I hope it's a trend.
And that's where, look, you guys know I like to gamble. From a gambling perspective, this is a fascinating over-under, in my opinion, because we know just years past, you have that getaway day. It seems like everybody just wants to literally get away. You see these kind of B lineups. So you have that, but then you look at the pitching matchup, and with all due respect, you don't really know what you're going to get out of Adam Wainwright, and you have Junior Guerra for the Brewers, and you have an over-under of 9.5. So you just kind of wonder, because I would think getaway day, usually low scoring. Then you look at the pitching matchup and the fact you've had two extra inning games the last couple days. You got to think the bullpens are a bit fried.
And Matt Bowman did pitch last night.
Yes.
And he pitched in the 10th, and I wanted to ask Hoff about this because the question
was... Does it count if it's extra innings?
Yeah, by the ninth inning was over, I said, oh, man, Bowman didn't pitch. They came out in the 10th. I'm like, does that count?
Does that count? I guess a game. We say, will he pitch tonight? So it's a game. I think that does count. Even though it's extenuating circumstances when you probably were hoping not to use them, but when it goes to extras, I still think it counts. It goes under the game category for Matt Bowman.
He actually just sleeps in the bullpen now.
He does.
I don't know if you guys
yeah,
know that.
He just sleeps overnight. Yeah, he has a cot.
Can I stay real quick, too?
Yes.
Real quick.
We're not up against the break. So you don't have to be real quick.
But I thought it was funny. With Army, I was listening to the interview, and yesterday, Army and Mike Yost spoke for, I think, almost an hour. And the question that Martin asked, and when you ask that question, it is always kind of the same three people that fans, media, and as Army likes to call it, bloggers, are talking about, and that is usually Steen, Berglund, and Sobotka. And it was kind of funny because Army yesterday said, yeah, it's kind of the same pinatas you guys always mention. So he's now calling those guys the pinatas.
In terms of
the fact that fans and media are always complaining about
instead of the three amigos, we now have the pinatas.
The pinatas.
Yes.
Somebody texted me, how did you not follow up on Steen? And I said, what did I ask? I said, the common critique is that you've locked up players that are below average. Berglund, Steen, Sobotka. And he said, he's good with all of them, right? And then there was some follow up there, and he kind of broke down Berglund, saying that that's good value.
He was hurt a lot, Berglund. So if you look at the production late,
he did say on pace.
Right. After he was sat, he was that healthy scratch in the game. He did finish pretty strong, had the hat trick, of course, in the game where it didn't really matter. But
so
from a production standpoint,
friend of the show said, who cares? Berglund's less than $4 million. That doesn't matter. Why not follow up more on Steen?
Is he critiquing? Is this a media critic critiquing your interview?
A media friend. Well, no, but my point was, didn't he say he thinks he's good with all of them? He doesn't have an issue with the money they're getting
paid.
All
about market value.
I'm sure, though,
he included Steen in that group.
But come on. He's not going to crush the guy. Of course he wants more production from Steen. Everybody does. We all get that.
He should crush him.
He had 15 goals and 31 assists. 46 points, played the whole season. Yeah, you want a little more production or a lot more production from a guy making that type of money.
I'd like to listen to it back.
Now, you were fine.
But it was about those three. So maybe I should have broken it down. What do you need from forget Berglund. He's a third-line center, but you pay him $4 million. But let's talk about Alexander Steen. The point is, how much drastically different will they be? Because Kyrou and Thomas are exciting names, but he made it pretty clear they're not quite ready. This Villahuso, probably not quite ready. So the Cardinals can sell you on, well, we got Hicks coming, we got Helsley coming. Maybe they'll have a Hicks equivalent.
Triple H. They need their Triple H.
We don't even talk about Hudson anymore.
No, he doesn't throw hard enough. He's boring.
Boring.
By the way,
Strix will be here at 12.
Boring.
Boring. The other thing, though, from yesterday, look, I usually take these guys, when they say something, I take that at face value. And usually, Mozeliak, Doug Armstrong, they are telling the truth. But also, if they get a great deal for Jake Allen, don't you think they're going to make that deal?
Yes.
Like, how does it benefit Doug Armstrong yesterday when he's asked point blank about Jake Allen, and Doug Armstrong says Jake Allen will be back? What's he going to say? No, we're looking to move him. I mean, Jake Allen is in the building there doing his interviews. You're not going to say that. It doesn't benefit the Blues whatsoever to say, no, we're going to try to trade Jake Allen.
Right. You go to the press conference and you say, Jake's our guy. He's got to take the next step. He knows that. Then you close the door and you meet with your assistants. You go, okay, would anybody take him? Let's look around the league. Who needs a goalie really bad? Let's see. Okay, what are they paying him? Okay. Yeah, let's see if we can move him. But if you were the Blues and you could move Jake, would you hand the job to Carter Hutton? I don't think you would. Even though you like what you saw this year, there's still kind of that assessment, well, he's just not a number one guy. Don't you think that's what they would tell you?
Probably. But let me ask you this. What if, and again, I don't know if this is going to happen, but Jake Allen makes his cap numbers 4.35. You have three more years under contract. Carter Hutton, unrestricted, made about, what, 1.25. You would think at age 32, maybe Carter Hutton can get, what, a two-year deal for $2.5 million per year? All I'm saying is, if you were to get an offer where you could trade Jake and get an offensive piece back, and you could have Carter Hutton...
You're talking hockey, offensive.
Offensive player. You could sign Carter Hutton to a two-year deal for $5 million, then bring in another veteran backup, wait on Villahuso. Does that not make sense for the next couple years to wait until Villahuso may be ready?
You know what we said 2 years ago, and I think it's true, is that was their Stanley Cup run. That was it. Mm-hmm. You didn't get to the Stanley Cup. You didn't win it. But that was the group. They were all in on it. They went for it, and that's as close as they could get.
I thought that was an interesting line during the interview where he said, no, he did the teardown a few years ago. And I'm like, well, then what's going on now then? Where are you now as an organization? If you're not rebuilding, you're what, just staying stagnant? Or
yeah, I think it's really tricky to define where they are.
Yeah.
Because
they're kind of in the same spot as the Cardinals, it seems.
They made the great run to get to the West, and it was fun. Some huge wins, some game sevens, fun run. And then after that, okay, well, we can't keep Backus, we can't keep Brouwer. Okay, in fact, we're not keeping Hitch anymore. Eventually, he's got to go. He got a one-year deal to come back. And now you're saying, okay, so what's happened since then? Well, we're in a slow rebuild. Is it a mini rebuild?
Wouldn't you rather, though?
We want to bring in young talent, but we're also trading first-round picks. We're just kind of in this weird spot.
But they're trading the first-round picks because you have to attach a first-round pick.
And that's true.
To get rid of a guy like Yoiri Laterra, let's be honest, to get a really nice piece. And they gave away a couple picks, but to get Braden Schenn. And they'll probably have to do the same thing this offseason to get a Braden Schenn-type player, or maybe somebody a rung below who could be a second-line center. Look, we always talk about those same guys, the Steens, the Berglunds, the Sobotkas, the Bouwmeesters. If you are to get rid of one of those contracts and get something in return, you would have to attach a first-round pick. That's what they have to do.
How about Army saying yesterday, somebody asked about Bouwmeester, and he said, well, there's not a lot of people out there looking for a 34-year-old defenseman making $5 million coming off an injury. I was like, oh, now that's an honest answer. That is an honest answer.
The thing with Jake, though. What's Jake's trade value right now? A couple years ago, don't you think you could have traded Jake Allen away and gotten a nice package in return? Right now, how do other teams view Jake Allen, knowing that for two straight years, he's had this January mental slide that he's even described it as. Now he's come back and bounced back, but do other teams value him as something worthy to get a first-round pick going the other way?
Maybe the selling point is, hey, Ryan Miller kind of didn't play well for us, and now he's out of our organization. Now he's playing really well. Maybe Jake Allen is that guy. Goalie poison.
We're going to have a lot of hockey talk. Goalie poison.
Come grow with us. Goalie poison.
That's the band that plays in between periods at the Scott Trade. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin Kilquin, Charlie Marlowe in for Frank, who will be appearing. He really wants you to sign on and say free dotum. I think that's at 11:45.
Can we ruin this for him?
Well, it's already ruined.
Please.
He did what you always do and say, oh,
not anymore.
Stop texting in pictures of genitalia. Just stop doing it. And then, of course, they do it.
No, that's going to happen now.
I learned my lesson.
Frank said, please get online, be part of our pregame, but don't say free dotum, which means everybody will.
Yep.
This would be awesome if the 590 and Morning After listeners just flooded Frank's.
What about Press Box and Midday Grind listeners,
okay.
Chuck? Why is it just isolated the one show?
Because I want to see Frank on air live with his legitimate news anchors have to read and see really awkward pictures and messages and videos and such and try to awkwardly combat that.
Well, no, I didn't want that part of it to go there. I was using
me either then.
Right.
Wink,
we don't support this.
Wink.
Hollywood Casino Press Box will come back. We're going to talk about the Schnucks High School Athlete of the Week. Later, I have five for Chuck.
Five for Chuck.
Frank is not here. Strick in the noon hour. And then a new segment we're going to start. We can even do it this hour because Strick will call it boring.
Boring.
And we need a song for this. We could play it before we do these, occasional reviews. Former Cardinals. How are they hitting? How are they pitching since they've left town? We could play The Way We Were. A little sappy. Former Cards, now pitching elsewhere.
I love you just the way you are. Not
Mitchell.
A Cardinal.
Yeah. A lot to get to, clearly. We'll do that coming up. Texters at
855-282.
282-8255.
Closing time.
855-282-8255. It is the Hollywood Casino Press Box, McBride & Son, Home Studios.
Hey, it's Denise from the Appliance Discounters here to tell you that our friends at Speed Queen have done it again. They are now offering an impeccable wash and dependability without a transmission. These heavy-duty washers are driven by a full horsepower motor and tested to last up to 25 years in your home. Speed Queen is so confident with their washers that their warranties have been extended to 5 to 7 years, parts and labor. This coverage is worth $400 and it's free. New and improved Speed Queen laundry at the lowest price at any of our 6 showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.